The AIBP ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast is a series of fireside chats with business leaders in Southeast Asia focused on growth in the region. Topics discussed include business strategy, sales and marketing, enterprise technology, and innovation.
Hello and welcome everyone to the AIBP ASEAN B2B Growth Podcast, where we sit down with individuals driving growth of their businesses, especially within the Southeast Asian region. My name is Elza and I'm really excited about today's guest. Today we have with us Rahmat Budiarjo, who is part of Kopi Kenangan. For those of you who are, you know, outside of Indonesia or maybe even outside of Southeast Asia and are not very familiar with the brand Kopi Kenangan, it's one of the fastest growing F&B companies in Indonesia as well as in Southeast Asia. Last year, I think they sold something around, in 2021, they sold something around like 40 million cups of coffee. And they have plans to grow that to about 5.5 million cups per month in the first quarter of 2022. This company was founded just a little bit over 4 years ago with about, 20 stores in 2018. And they have grown to 600 plus stores by the end of 2021. I'm, again, very excited to have Rahmat with us. First of all, Rahmat, congratulations. We just heard the announcement of your Series C raise 1-2 weeks ago. So that makes Kopi Kenangan one of the unicorns in this part of the world. There's been a lot of interest in Southeast Asia, you know, especially after the SPAC listing by Grab last year. So I think we are in a very, very opportune time in this part of the world. But before we go into that, Rahmat, would you mind just introducing yourself, a little bit about the company and your role within Kopi Kenangan itself?
Sure. First of all, thank you, Issa, for the opportunity as well to speak to AIBP. Right, so my name is Rahmat. I am acting CFO and SVP for Finance and Strategy for Kopi Kenangan. I joined Kopi Kenangan in end 2019, early 2020. Right, so my role comprises of three main responsibilities. Right, so number one being IR Corp Dev. Right, so I'm dealing with the investors, both internal and external. Right, so and then I also lead the corporate finance and corporate strategy team. Right, and the third part where I spend most of the time as well with the team on the strategic ops, where we are leading strengthening the team around the store expansion, performance marketing, and supply chain. So prior to Kopi Kenangan, I was a consultant at McKinsey, right? Consulting for MNC in Indonesia and other company in Southeast Asia. Right. Before that, I after McKinsey, I joined a private equity fund based out of Singapore, who actively invested in Indonesia and the Philippines. When I decided to join Kopi Kenangan in early 2020, right? Yeah. So that's a bit about myself.
It's an opportune time to be joining, you know, Kopi Kenangan early 2020, you said. And I think early 2020 was when actually the pandemic started breaking out in this part of the world, right? Tell us a little bit, you know, if you can give us some context about the growth of the company, you know, from 2020 until now, or even from inception, that was in what, like you said, late 2018 until 2021?
Yeah. So I think we are proud to be, as you mentioned, like the first new retail F&B unicorn in Indonesia, right? So we started in 2017 at NGM's founded one store, and we started fundraising with a bit of amount in 2018, right? So where we were able to grow to 430 stores in 2020, and then 650 stores in 2020 by the end of 2021. Right, so we started firstly, obviously, in Jakarta area, right? So in 2018, but right now we are present in across 31 different cities in Indonesia, right? And we are looking to double down the number in 2022 as well, right? So so on top of that, right? So we have also expanded our product portfolio. Right, I think when we started, we have only one Hebrew product, right? So KKM. So we evolved into a more creative beverage company where like now we have like two other sister brands, right? So Cerita Roti and Chigo, who are like selling breads and cookies. And also we are about to launch the new FMCG products, right? So we have been able to grow tremendously, right? So I think 2019, 2018, we were at So we have been able to grow ARR like over 20x within 3 years, right? So I think that's one of the most exciting phase to join a company as well. Yeah.
Well, when you say 20x over 3 years, you're referring to top lines revenue?
Yeah, referring to the annualized run rate revenue. Yeah, annualized run rate.
Okay, yeah. that's really amazing, especially in, I think there's been a lot of focus when people look at Southeast Asia. There's been a lot of focus on Indonesia as well. I think there's a lot of opportunities, a lot of potential, and it's top of the mind when people think of Southeast Asia. Let's take a step back, Rahmat. When you mentioned, you know, you started out with a single hero product, KKM. That's the Kopi Kenangan Mantan, right?
Yes, correct.
Can you just walk us through, you know, how that started and essentially how that built the foundation for where you are today?
Yeah, so we started with Kopi Kenangan Mantan, right? So essentially, the missions from the founders was to enhance the coffee experience, right? So we wanted to use the premium quality raw material, right? So to serve, right, with great taste and customer experience, right? So where we started, then we are also fortunate to be the first digital native F&B brand in Indonesia, where we capture more and more app users, where we understand that there are more products to serve them as well, right? So hence, where we basically develop a more product that is refined to the taste of the people in Indonesia or in Southeast Asia, right? So in fact, like the top five products right now, only one is a coffee-based, right? So where the four other top SKU products, right? So are more like similar or similarly catered to population in Southeast Asia, right? So we have Thai tea, right? So and then Milo dinosaurs, which are also very popular in Singapore and Malaysia, right? Yeah. And we also have the boba, right? Boba jelly as well. Yeah.
Okay. From what I understand as well, as you mentioned, I actually downloaded the app to look at your menu, mm-hmm. even though I can't order it here in Singapore. I think most Indonesians will be very familiar with the app as well. They have quite a full range of items on their menu, and the item that essentially started it all, if I may say, would be the Kopi Kenangan Mantan, right. Which for people who don't speak Bahasa, correct me if I'm wrong, yeah, Rahmat, I think it means... coffee memory of the ex, right? which
yes, yeah, correct.
Yeah, and I think people were tagging their exes on Instagram when they bought Kopi Kenangan Mantan earlier on.
Yes.
So it was a very interesting marketing strategy, or even, you know, the way things have just fallen into place for you. Let's talk about the growth in Indonesia. I understand now that there are plans for expansion outside of Indonesia, but let's look at, you know, over the last 4 years. You've mentioned, you know, you started in 2017 and you've grown, in fact, even during the pandemic where most of Indonesia was shut, Indonesia was hit quite badly by this COVID, you've managed to grow by 100 to 200 retail stores in the past year. Walk me through, you know, the process of thinking about doing things that way and why you chose to pursue you're a digital native company, but your physical stores has still been growing quite rapidly over the last year, and you said you're planning to double down on that in 2022 as well.
Yeah. So I personally believe that there are five mods that have driven us to our success, right? So I think one, as you mentioned, is like the unique positioning, right? So where we introduce ourselves as a fun, trendy beverage with local Indonesian flavor. So which is basically like the Kopi Kenangan Mantan was viral with all the marketing targets, with all the marketing initiatives, right? So the second, I think what we think that we have been able to build successfully is a strong brand fundamentals, right? So we are number one in top of mind of local coffee brands in Indonesia, right? So with a number one, with a strong brand recall, right? This is, I think, like pretty much aligned with all the initiatives that we spend also on the marketing as well, right? So, but most importantly, I think what drives it is the what drives the success as well. And also the appetite from the investors are two things, right? So number one is the design for grab and go format, right? So which is basically optimized for the better unit economics, right? So this is the second part, right? So where you have like low OPEX, quite payback period, right? And then where you are able to be located into the dense footprint with many with high traffic location, right? So this is that is going to create like an impact, right, in terms of unit economics, like store profitability, right? Short payback period, and in the longer run, then a stable high level store profitability, right? So, and then on top of all of that, right? So being digital first help us also to win the market, right? Obviously, when we first introduced our brand, it was number one, like winning on the aggregator space, right? So where previously we have about 40% sales, 40-45% sales that is coming to aggregators, right? So that includes also like being able to work with food aggregators in Indonesia as well, be it Grab or Gojek, right? So creating a visibility to build the brand. And last but not least, then when we started building from the strength to strength, is basically where we started introducing our apps to capture more and more customer data to allow segmentation of our customers and then being able to target them strategically, right?
That's interesting. You mentioned unit economics. So I understand that even from inception, I think a couple of your founders has mentioned it. Usually in Indonesia, in cafes, the price of a coffee or tea would be something like 40,000 rupiah?
45,000 rupiah.
Yeah, 40 to 45,000 rupiah, which is roughly four US, give or take, right? And yeah. And the Kopi Kenangan Mantan today on your menu is 18,000 rupiah, if I'm not wrong, right? So when, especially in developing markets in Southeast Asia, how does that play into obviously, in basic business terms, you're looking at either volume or margins, right? There's a trade-off between volume and margins. How do you look at that, especially when you're trying to grow? And you have grown tremendously. So how do you look at unit economics as you scale? Does it remain consistent, you know, when you open your 100th store versus your, let's say, in the future, your 800 or 900 store?
Yeah. Okay. I think for startup, right, obviously, the whole metrics evolve. Right. Yeah. So when we started, right, so obviously like for every single startup in Indonesia, when they do fundraise, right, so most important is the top line.
Yeah.
Right. So, but then I think given our business model, right. So I think first two initials, one, right. So what was important for us is obviously the store productivity, right. And then the number of stores which drive the top line. Right. So, however, like started tracking from that, right. So, especially like for a tech enabled or like F&B, right, on retail, right. So, the other part that is also important is the store margin, right. So, which drives to the payback period of that particular stores, right. So we continuously compare ourselves and then have an internal discussion prior to new store opening, right. So. Prior to COVID, our payback period was less than a year. And then slightly during the COVID period, we are about 1.5 years, right? So like between 1 and 2 years, right? So we always, when we try to expand to new location, we have a very tight committee where we only approve the location with the potential of getting the store payback period of less than 2 years, right? Or like around 1.5 years, right? So this is in contrary compared to the international stores that open in Indonesia, right? So which normally have like about 10 to 20 times area, right? Compared to Kopi Kenangan. Yep. The payback period is 1/3, 1/4 of them, right? That evolves. Then this is the first fundamentals of the business, right? So when then, obviously, we started moving to the digital, where all the initiative in the in the digital marketing, or like in the apps, have to add up as well to bring to have an overview, like top overview on the unit economics across different channels, right? So when I joined, we started looking at the aggregators metrics, right? So where we take a look at the dollar to dollar, it is almost similar to ROI on the spending, right? So if you're familiar with this one, I think it's almost like looking at the, you know, I think in aggregators, there are two different models, right? So one is the visibility, right? So which is the banner and also the promotional support, right? So we start differentiating this one, and then you start differentiating the ROI or unit economics across two different spendings on the aggregator side. Right, and then allocate our money based on the better unit economics, right?
Yep.
So and then we grow with our own apps, right? So obviously the top most important, like what everybody tells, is the registered users. But registered users only is not going to be beneficial in the long run, right? So hence we started moving from the total registered users. Right, so to monthly active users, daily active users, to see, and then retention rate, right? So to basically understand like how many of my users are continuously using our apps, right, regardless of the promotion, all right, whether they are returning to use our own apps again, right? So once you get the basic overview of this, then you start moving forward to customer acquisition cost, customer retention cost. This is like all the costs needed to get customers to use your apps, or like to retain them on your platform. And then in longer term, medium longer term, what you also want to get is the long term, the LTV, the lifetime value of the customers, right? So, I think we've been doing this one quite well. So we keep a positive ratio, right, of LTV to CAC.
Yeah. And that's done tremendously well for you, obviously, over the last 3 to 4 years. Let's talk outside of Indonesia. So growing in Indonesia is one thing. It is still the largest economy by quite a mile here in Southeast Asia. And anybody who's looking at Southeast Asia always looks at Indonesia. But now I believe you have ambitions to go international, starting with some markets in Southeast Asia. Walk me through that, because I think there's been a lot of misconception about how people look at Southeast Asia, right? Usually they look at it as a block or a primary market which dominates Southeast Asia. To give you an idea, I think the per capita GDP in Southeast Asia nominal is about 4,000, but then it ranges from, you know, 1,000 in Cambodia to 60,000 in Singapore. So when you look at expansion outside of Indonesia within the ASEAN markets, how do you look at the markets you think Kopi Kenangan can have a competitive advantage? Which markets are you looking at, and why are you looking at them?
Sure. I think Southeast Asia is a very attractive market, right? So with over 600 million population, and then with the growing middle income, like all consuming class, right? So this is like now represent over 50% in Southeast Asia, right? So we expect them the numbers to be continuously growing, right? So which makes it very exciting for us. Right, so the way we take a look at this, I think prior to entering the market, right, so we think that there are three main factors that we would like to consider, right? So number one is the taste, or the whether there's an opportunity to, you know, like basically we started with one brand at you know, KKM, right? So whether the taste or like the palate of the consumers in a particular country with our current products is actually transferable or not, right? And then if there needs some modification, how can we adjust it to that one accordingly, right? So number two is how should the brand strategy be so that it can be viral as we are entering the particular market, right? So this is related to basically, so you want, it means on the second part is that we need to be like similar in terms of like consumer behavior compared to Indonesian market as well, right? So number three, I think like what makes the business actually very interesting is the ability to capture the good locations, right? So with a smaller store format that address to grab and go players, right? So those three are basically the three the three top things, like beyond, say, basically the regulatory or like the competition, the competition landscape in a particular market, right? So the, and obviously it has to be supported by the digital ecosystem, such as the grab and go payment, or like the existence of food delivery in a particular countries, right?
Yeah.
So looking at this, we identified two particular countries that we are currently working on, right? So we are currently plan to enter, right? So with obviously some other countries that we are still shortlisting, also outside of Southeast Asia, right? So we think that Malaysia and Philippines are probably the most interesting one at this point, right? So I think Malaysia, we know the similarity of taste with Indonesian, right? So, and then the brand could potentially be tweaked to get adjusted to the Malaysian consumer behavior. Right. So in terms of format and location, we have seen a few other players who have tried to adopt similar store formats as what Kopi Kenangan does in Indonesia. Right. And then there is historical evidence that an international brand or Indonesian brand can do well in a particular country. Right. And the digital ecosystem, obviously, in Malaysia are also pretty mature, right? So with a lot of payment, grab and go market as well, right? So for Philippines, we think of the same as well, right? So the consumer tastes in like sweet palate. They have like very sweet palate,
yep.
Right? And what we like from Philippines is the similarity to the infrastructure in Indonesia, where you have like a few metropolitan in few metropolitan cities in the Philippines, where you can build and locate the store densely, right? Similar to geographic target area.
That's very interesting. Malaysia as well, I think language is very, very similar because, as I mentioned earlier, Kopi Kenangan is, it's Indonesian, it's Bahasa. And I think it's easily understood in a country like Malaysia. Whereas for Philippines, in terms of branding, I think it's I don't know, it could be a little bit different. So that's something that I think is very interesting and shows the diversity within Southeast Asia itself. And when you look at going international, will you be looking at the same metrics as, local growth in Indonesia as well?
I think generally the way I see the metrics, right? So for a business to make sense, I mean, it has to be profitable in the long run.
Correct. Yeah. Right?
So obviously the emphasis on the, the profitability, right? So obviously for a fast growing brand, right? So, it could be extended to a certain period of time, right? So, but in the long run, so where they are in a mature state, so we are. I think it's wise to take a look at the similar profitability metrics for the brands.
When we speak to a lot of these traditional businesses in Southeast Asia, a lot of petrol chains, companies like Petronas, Bangchak. In Thailand as well, a lot of them are actually going into the grab and go retail space, as an extension of their current business because they have natural distribution. So I think it's very interesting to see a pure play such as yourself, going regional as well and competing in the grab and go space. So that's something to definitely look out for. Going back, you're a tech-enabled F&B company, a tech-enabled retail company effectively. Let's talk about the technology aspects of things. When you were scaling, from your first store up to your 630th, as you mentioned, just quickly walk me through, the tech stack, the tech behind which fueled the growth or which enabled this kind of growth over the last 3 to 4 years. How do you look at tech as a core of your business? How do you make decisions about what kind of vendors you'll choose to work with or whether you choose to build stuff internally?
Yeah, I think so maybe I help explaining a bit like where we started, why we choose to have our tech development team internally, right? So Prior to like the bigger round of fundings, we use a developer for our apps, right? So a lot of things are not working or are not as agile as we would like to have, right? So when we started receiving funding, then one of the first priority of the founder was basically like to hire a tech team, right? A CTO, right? So to first is basically like restructure the whole apps, right? So that the apps, the UI or UX is designed more for the tailored to the customer journey, right? So that you enable like a seamless process in ordering and all this kind of stuff, right? So, and we would like to have a faster iteration as well, right? So say you need to change the UI, UX, you need to be able like to introduce like a new promo or anything. So you could do it with the internal capability, right? So, but what probably like less known for most of the people, I think like where the non-consumer facing apps, non-consumer facing technology that the tech team is also developing, right? So for instance, we have a supply and demand planning, right? So inventory management and also asset management, the team is also building, right? So this enables us to do manual work. For instance, one of the biggest impact from the team itself is, being able to have to reduce the inventory days from 180 days when the COVID hits to about 60 days, right? So that's within the first 2 or 3 months after the implementation, right? So essentially, for an FFB business, inventory days is eating your cash, right? So it's about like $2 million per month of cash flow saving, right? So, I mean, of course, like number one, that's basically consumer facing, but there are stories behind it why we would like to have the tech in house as well, right? So, when we are choosing our vendors, I think essentially, or like basically, whether we want to build in house or outsourcing, right? So we try basically like to segment basically based on the capacity of the team itself, right? So I mean, like, we are not a full stack tech company, right? So where you can spend anything, where you can spend everything on the tech side. So we would like to assess this one as well with the internal capacity, right? And also the opportunity cost, right? So basically, like, how long does it take for me to build the apps, to build a particular application versus if I work with some other vendors, right? Yeah. So like the time to market, it becomes also very important for us, right? So for instance, like we recently commissioned an AI-based company, right? So to get the potential white space for Indonesia and other Asian markets, where we can open similar stores with a similar unit economics and similar payback period profile, right? So the vendor that we approached, they have done similar work in Europe, right? So where we could basically transfer the knowledge faster rather than I start hiring from zero to build the team members who has the similar capability, right?
So for your tech team that you have in-house, most of them, I'm guessing, are based out of Indonesia itself. Give us a sense as to how that portion of the business has grown, you know, with regards to, and I'm guessing the tech team obviously take care of two portions of the business. One is building stuff internally, faster iterations, developing, like you mentioned, the supply chain software or the applications that powers the business. And they also manage your external vendors as well. Like how has that team grown over the last, three, 4 years?
The core team has started from Beijing. So they are right now in Beijing, right? So
it's
in Beijing as well. So, but we continuously expand the local team, right? So, given that the business is Indonesia, right? It requires more local insight to adapt, right? So, such the UI, UX, like, I mean, obviously, like if you see all the apps, Alibaba, Lazada, versus what you see in Indonesia, right? So the UI, UX are very, very, very different, right? So compared to Singapore as well. So that will need some local requirement, that will need some local tests, right? So similarly to the team that is building like all the internal ops, right? So they are mostly in Indonesia as well, right? Given that they understand what are the challenges that happen in store, right? Yeah. So where obviously like the coder, the developer, we will not be able to deny that they are more talented in that particular area, right? So yeah. And then hence it's been the structure that we adopt thus far.
Yeah, I think, you know,
the possibility to change in the future, obviously.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that's something a lot. You mentioned infrastructure, political landscape, especially around infrastructure. I think a lot of the government agencies in Southeast Asia have identified talent as one of the key things they want to build, right? Because yes. I think you need the talent to support growth. I mean, to look at your growth is pretty amazing, and you actually need to ramp up really, really quickly with talent as well. But you know, having said that, at the end of the day, you're still you call yourself a tech-enabled F&B company, and obviously building an F&B company today differs from how you would have done it, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, right? If you could just point out, you know, one or two things that Kopi Kenangan has done that couldn't have been done if, let's say, your founder decided to start this business 20 years ago. I mean, assuming he was the same age 20 years ago. What are the main things? You call yourself a digital native, which is very clear. But what are the one or two main things that, you know, you did differently that, you know, other companies, maybe even now or 10, 15, 20 years ago couldn't do?
I think three main things that I see are very different, right? So number one is I think the marketing, right? So right, basically right now there are different multifaceted marketing strategy, right? So you have multiple channels to manage, starting from Instagram, Facebook, Google, and then like all the things that you need to do on advertising, right? So all being on the offline, online, right? So and your internet apps as well. Right. So I think the second part, being nimble or like being able to predict and work with different, be it like service provider, vendors, right? So or like churning the data to get an insight for you, right? So yeah. Right now, I mean, you see all the channels, right? So Grab, Go, Instagram, right? So and then like how do you use that channel or like the sales channel to make decision for the business, right? That's what has not been available before, right? Yep. And now the information is actually everywhere. You just need to make a sense of that to make a good business decision, right? So number three, I think, is adapting the consumer needs or the consumer preference, say, to your product, right? So I think it's a lot of things that we learn from the data or from the sales data from our customers, right? So how we develop new products and those kind of stuff, right? So previously, I think probably like 10 years ago, everybody will be happy with coffee with sugar, coffee with sugar and milk, and then cappuccino and latte, right? So where right now it's like the preference are different, right? So you have a certain different sweetness and then you have different flavor and stuff. Lah. And that all ties up basically like how capable you are to run the business itself, right? So like a lot of decision making, right? So which is eventually flowing like how you manage your profitability, how you manage cash flow to survive, right? So because yep. It's not simply cash in, register, and then cash out, right? So like you also to manage the store opening, you also need to manage your employee, right? So, and then obviously with rapidly changing environmental governmental regulation and stuff.
Yeah. No, those are very, very key points. And I think it's interesting because what we are seeing now, if you look at coffee chains in Southeast Asia over the last, 10, 20 years, you'll see the international brands. So it's nice to see more local brands popping up. And as you mentioned earlier, I think in Indonesia, by far, I think Kopi Kenangan has the number one position when it comes to recollection or brand awareness within the coffee space especially. So, I'll be rooting for you over the next few years. Mr. Rahmat Budiarjo, you are a Southeast Asian native, right? So outside of, the space which you operate in, you've worked in Indonesia, you've worked in Singapore. What excites you most about, the region, Southeast Asian region, be it Indonesia, Singapore, Philippines, Thailand, any of the markets? What excites you the most?
I think what excites me the most, I think how... I think I like the direct to consumer D2C, direct to the consumer space, right? So I see and then the second part what I also like is I think the model that is similar, to Amazon Rainforest, where basically they consolidate all different brands. Hypefast, for instance, from Indonesia, that it's become very famous as well.
Yeah.
Right, so how they try to acquire and then turn around the business into one consolidated. I think those two are pretty interesting for me. Right? Obviously, apart from fintech, right? So fintech's always been interesting. Building basically digitizing the consumer journey in the financial space.
Yeah, perfect. So D2C, the brand houses, and obviously fintech as well. Rahmat, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. I'll be watching closely, how Kopi Kenangan grows. I'll be sure to get a coffee next time the borders open and I can travel into Indonesia. But I hope to see you quickly grow in the region as well. Thank you very much, Rahmat.
Appreciate it for the time, Izzah. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
We hope you've enjoyed the episode. For more information about business growth in the ASEAN region, please visit our website www.iotbusiness-platform.com.